Lord, we give you the fellowship tonight. We are open for your speaking. You are speaking, God. And we also want to hear what instruction you're giving to us to go on to fully make it to the goal. And not just for ourselves, but for your glory, for the fulfillment of your purpose, that you, Lord, Father God, would be satisfied. Bless us all here. We need you at all times. Praise the Lord. Jerusalem. Thank you. It's a wonderful song. Jerusalem is in the middle of the world. And all the problems and attacks and conflicts is all about this one city, Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? And God's plan has never changed. In the time of the Old Covenant, God chose Jerusalem and Zion. Jerusalem was for the house, but Zion is for the kingdom. So Jerusalem is very important. This song was very fitting for tonight. But we have to know that God's house is not just a house where he dwells. Already from the time of the tabernacle, we could see at the beginning, God's house is something special. And Zion is something very special. And we see how God builds his house. But we never thought that his house needs a priesthood. We just say, we want to build the house. Praise the Lord, let us build together. But no one thought about the priesthood. To serve God, we have to do it in a very specific way. I know we all want to serve God, but the Bible shows us that we cannot serve God in just any way that we like. The Bible shows it very clearly. God needs and wants a very specific service, ministry. And that is the priesthood. That's why we already see in Exodus, when God first showed Moses that he should build a house, the tabernacle, and how it should be built. It had to be exactly according to the heavenly pattern. If we build a house for God, how do we build? So many people today are building the church. But how many kinds of churches are there? I cannot even count how many. I can't do it because there are so many from A to Z. Right? How many? How many different kinds of churches are there in Germany? And which one is built according to the heavenly pattern? And today, if we want to build God's house, how should we build the house? Do we come together? We have a meeting hall, singing, praying, praising, thanking, giving a message, praise the Lord, give money, and then we go home. Right? Isn't it like that? Also in Switzerland, everyone is building according to his own way. You know what Abraham already said long ago at the beginning, He was seeking a city whose what? Whose builder and architect was God. God is the architect. And we have to build precisely according to the heavenly pattern. Also, the ark that Noah built, could Noah just build any kind of ship or boat? If you were Noah, how would you build this ark? God gave him precise instructions. If you do not build the ark according to these instructions, then I'm not sure that it would have stayed afloat on the water. It would probably have sunk. And if we build God's house according to our own way, as the Lord himself said, if someone does not build the house on the rock but on the sand, then when the wind and the rain and all these things come, it'll just be blown away. That's right, Adam. It won't stand. It will not stand the test. It will not pass the test. That's why Jerusalem is a city built by God. It's not built with man's hands. It's also written so clearly, and Stephen also said that. I already mentioned, God does not dwell in a place made by man's hands. It's impossible. God's building is too wonderful, too wonderful. He said, I want to build my house. I will build my house, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But we see that the gates of Hades did overcome a lot, but only that which God builds can stand any kind of test. Withstand any test. Just with us. The same with us. When the temptation comes, we all fall. When the test comes, we cannot withstand it. We don't pass the test. But the Lord passed all the tests with an A+. He didn't just barely pass, but he was victorious. So wonderful. He is the only one who is worthy to build God's house. He's the one who has the right. All the other buildings will collapse. That's why we all have to pay attention how God's house should be built. With living stones, not just with normal stones. Are you a stone? A living stone. Even a precious stone. God wants to make us, build us into precious stones. In our natural being, we're not very precious. We fall. We fall immediately when something happens. And in the end, when the storm comes, when the rain comes, when the wind comes, we will have problems. For 60 years I have served now, and I've seen much. Everything that man can build will not pass the test. It will fail, whether it's in Germany or Korea or Nigeria or India. It doesn't matter where. God's house is something very special. That's why in the Bible, Hebrews tells us that Moses was faithful over God's house. He did everything exactly according to the pattern that he saw. He was so precise. When we read Exodus, we can see amazingly, even when you read Exodus more times than once, we still have difficulty following it. Haven't you tried it? You can read it more than once, how this and this will be put together. Every detail was shown to Moses by God. And Moses did everything exactly according to the instructions. Is that not wonderful? And how do we build? Sorry. That's a little mixed up. That's not good. We don't want to have any confusion in the house of the Lord that everything is going a mess. That's not good. That's why we also have to learn, and not only the house has to be built exactly according to the pattern, but the service, the ministry in the house of the Lord also. When we look at the priestly garments, the materials that are used, and how it should be, what the high priest should put on, you will realize all the materials are exactly the same as the materials of the tabernacle. It's amazing. They have to correspond to each other. I can't even describe it. The tabernacle and the priestly garment, they have exactly the same materials. We cannot make the house in a special way and then the priests serve in a different kind of way. That doesn't work. If we do that, that means we do not know our wonderful living God. That's not His way of doing things. Learn. In everything that we do and serve, go to the Lord. Ask Him. Moses was there on Mount Sinai for 40 days. Day and night, he was before the presence of the Lord. How often have you taken the time for the Lord? After 1 hour, you fall asleep. You can't stand it anymore. You don't have the perseverance. Maybe a little more? Great, that's praise the Lord. How is it with your prayer? What is the longest time that you've used to pray to the Lord? 40 minutes is pretty long. But Moses did it for 40 days. You know, when the Lord chose the 12 apostles, He had to choose them. He prayed and had fellowship with the Father the whole night. He prayed throughout the whole night because He didn't want to have His own choice. He wanted to know precisely whom God had chosen, who were the ones. Which disciples did God choose? Us? We choose according to our own ideas. Oh, he's very capable. We'll let this brother serve. Right? And this brother, so and so, I like him. So you should do that. But God does not work that way. The Lord was not that way. We have to see that the ministry in the house of the Lord needs a holy priesthood. And what is the goal? Why did God have such a service? I think we cannot understand it. God has his purpose. And we have to learn to be open, to come to God, to come to his word. To be open, and even if necessary, to fast and pray, Lord, how do you want to do it? What does it look like? Otherwise, in the end, we serve and do so much, and God will say, that's not what I want. I hope that we as priests, and we want to learn how to serve as priests, then we should serve in such a way that God wants. And don't be presumptuous. As I mentioned in Psalm 19, of the sin of presumptuousness. Maybe, let's read it together. Maybe we should read it. Psalm chapter 19. Psalm 19, at the end. Verse 13. It says here, from verse 10. Let's read from verse 10. Or let's start with verse 8, unto the end. The statutes of the Lord are right. Praise the Lord. They are right. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. And I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? It's so wonderful. We have to chew it. We have to dream about it. We have to chew the cud. The word is there that we could do everything according to his word, especially regarding to his work and the ministry for God. And especially the fear of the Lord. If we do not have any fear of him, then we will just do whatever we do, whatever we think is right. Whatever we think doesn't matter. It's what God thinks. What does he want? Our thoughts definitely are not better than his thoughts. The Lord wrote in Isaiah chapter 55, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." How much higher? "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so high are his thoughts." And we think that our thoughts, often we think that our thoughts are right. And we think our methods are right, our ways are right. And tonight, I said this because it's important for the ministry of the service of the priest. If you serve as a priest and don't do exactly what he says, then think about Nadab and Abihu. I think after Aaron and his two other sons saw it, and everyone saw it, everyone was fearful and were afraid, or not? And do you think that today that we're free of that and that we can serve God just as we want to? I have my choice. And in the end, at the end of the service, I'll be dead spiritually. There won't be any fire that comes from above, but we will all be spiritually dead. That's why we see so many impossible different kinds of services amongst the believers, and we don't want to repeat that. And we have to have the fear of the Lord. A brother mentioned this morning and he mentioned it in his offering concerning Isaiah chapter 11. And Isaiah 11 speaks about the Spirit of the Lord upon the Lord. Because the Lord was a servant of God on this earth. And how was he described? The Spirit of the Lord, number one, Spirit of wisdom and understanding. A spirit of wisdom and understanding. We need this. Oftentimes we don't understand, especially the spiritual things. Right? If the Lord does not show us and grant us a revelation, how can we know and understand? And even if he gives me revelation, whether I understand it is a different matter. I don't want to be so presumptuous. Oh, yes, that's how I understood it. And how do you see it? Then you ask, how does he see the whole matter? Okay, let's have fellowship. And then we'll decide, okay, let's do that. Let's do this. God does not need our decision. Wisdom and understanding. That's why we have to see that transformation occurs by the renewing of our mind. Our fallen human mind, well, you could learn math or biology or computer science, you could do it really well, but with heavenly things, our mind is incapable, even darkened. When the mind is darkened, then the heart is hardened. then we are cut off from the life of God. And we do whatever we want. We must have the fear of the Lord. We should be fearful of this. Then, the spirit of counsel. In Isaiah, in the same book, the Lord is our counselor, even a wonderful counselor. Are you a counselor in the church? Christian. Oh, yeah. Maybe you're happy when the saints come to you and ask for counsel. Then you're the Dr. Know-it-all. But the Lord is the counselor. A wonderful counselor. He knows everything. And the spirit that the Lord has given us is a spirit of counsel. This counsel, where does it come from? We can just give non-counsel. Not counsel. But the counsel of the Lord is precise and is right. He is the counselor. And it even is written, He is the counselor. That was His name. Once a brother from America came and he visited me a few days. And he saw Rathaus, which is the name for City Hall in Germany. Rathaus. You know, rat. Do you know what it means? Rat in English? Rats. Then he thought, what does that mean? It's a house full of rats? The rat house? You know, oftentimes our counsel is nothing. We give bad counsel. That's why I'm often afraid to give counsel to others. But you have to say, go to the Lord, go to Him. I'm not the counselor. My name is not counselor. I can just give you rats. German counsel is the word rat. But the Lord is the counselor. Why do we not want to go to Him and to ask Him to show us? And if you don't understand and you haven't understood, tell Him, Lord, enlighten me. Give me light. Give me enlightenment. You know, the priest should all have this attitude. If we have the sin of presumptuousness, then we will make great mistakes, as Psalm 19 also says. Preserve your servant from sins of presumptuousness. Maybe we haven't realized that if I'm presumptuous and I think, oh yeah, it's okay to do that, that's a sin. Because the Lord did not say that. And it wasn't from the Lord, but I think it's okay. That is also a sin. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. How often do these presumptuous sins have dominion over me? Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. We have to chew on such a word and chew it again. Remember the fellowship that we had earlier, that we are those who chew the cud. The pure The animals that are pure are all those who chew the cud. That means during the day we have to bring the food up and pray about it before the Lord and think, okay, I understood it this way. Oh, don't think that. But we actually didn't understand it. So we need his counsel. If you don't understand in the ministry, don't just go first to man, but first go to God. Go to the Lord. And by his Spirit, he will teach you. The anointing teaches us all things and is not a lie. That means it doesn't make any mistakes. If you come to me, I don't know how much percentage, but maybe 99% of the time I would give you the wrong counsel. Go to the Lord. Go first to the Lord. Then afterwards you can have fellowship about it. Learn to do this in your service in the house of the Lord as a priest. That we don't make great transgressions. Then, in the end, we will also experience that we are not dependent on man. That doesn't mean that we don't need the fellowship amongst one another, but we follow the Lamb. Without blemish. To be blameless. The Spirit is a spirit of counsel. That means he counsels us. If you have a question, and don't expect that the Lord will answer you in that second. No. Be patient. Because, of course, he can answer you, but you won't be able to understand it. That's the problem. You're not prepared, not ready to understand it yet. So the Lord can't give you the answer right away. Even if he gave you the answer, you're not ready yet. So learn to wait. Praise the Lord for the spirit of counsel. And then he's also the spirit of might. Strength. And when the Lord gives you a counsel, then you also by his might must do it. Follow through. That is another matter. Don't just go and do it right away. If the Lord says, Lord, or if you ask the Lord for counsel and he tells you to do this and that, and then immediately I run and do it in my own strength, then it won't work. I'm sorry. This is the way. God called his son Jesus Christ to do a work. And then the Father came together with the Lord to accomplish it. So, who did it? Then I ask, Father, if you are doing it, then why do you still have to send Jesus? Why didn't you come yourself and do it? I was so dumb. And on the other hand, although I'm dumb, I thought I was capable to do something. And I do everything by myself without the Lord. Oh, Lord. Isn't it like this? The Lord sent his son to do it. And the son said, I can do nothing of myself. Isn't that wonderful? Do you think the Father is happy about that? Oh, I didn't send the right man. He can't do anything of himself. Now let me send Manu, who's so capable, he can do everything by himself. God does not need capable men in this sense. Of course, Paul was capable, but he said, not I, but the grace of God in me, Christ in me, not I, but Christ in me. All the priests should learn this. And so Paul often used his service as a priestly service. Even in the preaching of the gospel in Romans, he used this word ministry, or serve, not to serve as a slave, but he used the word latreo, to serve in a priestly service. Then our service will be resulting in something different. Okay? Can we learn this? Do we want to practice this? Otherwise, in the end, you'll be so proud, I did it. That will be even worse. Then you think, oh, I am capable of doing everything. Yes, of course, you're capable of doing everything. You're also capable of doing many errors, mistakes. To learn this takes time and practice and the knowledge and realization. Father, I cannot do this without you. Didn't the Lord say in John chapter 15, apart from me, you can do nothing? And still, we're so capable. We can do so much. But for the Lord, that's nothing. Yeah. Learn. As priests, to serve the living God in such a way. Praise the Lord. It is important to learn. And then, this Spirit, Isaiah chapter 11, is also the Spirit of knowledge. Do you know everything? Maybe you know much, but no one can truly understand heavenly things without his Spirit. And God also cannot show us everything as if we were capable to know everything. We already mentioned that's why Peter said, when we come to the Word, the first thing is not to have your own private interpretation. Any private interpretation. Because most of the time, when we have a private interpretation, the word speaks for itself. It's your private understanding. It's not his knowledge. If it's your own private interpretation, then it's your interpretation. And often, if it's our interpretation, then it's not quite right. Maybe it's half right. But the half truth is the greatest lie. Then, in the end, people think, oh yeah, it's like that. But it wasn't the case. Right? So we must all humble ourselves before the Lord. We cannot think that as priests, when we're in serving Him, that we know everything. No. That's why the last point is the fear of the Lord. Without the fear, then we will make many mistakes. We'll think it's okay. If we do not fear the Lord, we'll do many things according to our own ideas. We do what is right in our own eyes, and in the end we have fighting because when we don't agree with one another. That's why everyone has his own opinion. And when everybody has his own opinion, then we will have problems in the service. In the end, the result will be division. But the ministry of the Lord, when he was on this earth, God prepared him not just for salvation, but God wanted to make him to the great high priest. God wanted a high priest. He wanted to gain a high priest in his son in a wonderful, according to the wonderful order of Melchizedek. That's why we see in Revelation chapter 1 such a wonderful high priest walking amidst the golden lampstands. If these lampstands, if this great high priest is not walking amidst us, then our service is impossible. We have such a high priest, and that is the main point. And all priests have to learn from him. Why does God give us a high priest in his house if we are not learning from him? Why then is there a high priest among us? Right? So this is important. That's why in the priestly service, we all have to learn to practice. Pray before the Lord. Lord, open our eyes. Give us this spirit described in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah, let us read Isaiah 11 together. You see, I'm making mistakes. He was saying Zechariah instead of Isaiah in German. This is how it is. Each of us makes mistakes. Isaiah chapter 11. Amen. The Spirit, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, they always go together. Wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. They also belong together. They're a pair. You can't just have counsel and then you just go and do. You do it. You need his might. Then the spirit of knowledge. But what does Paul say? If you have knowledge, knowledge puffs up. Then you think, oh, I'm super. I know everything. Then you're proud. With the knowledge comes the fear of the Lord, and his delight is in the fear of the wisdom. What does it say there? If you were to choose, which point would you pick? Which point would you like the best? Might. He said, and you? Wisdom, of course. And you? Oh, you want to have more knowledge. No one wants to have the last point. But the Lord chose the last point. It is important. It's at the end. But it is more important than all the above points. The fear of the Lord. That's why in Hebrews chapter 12, We read that we must serve in such a way with a fear, godly fear, that we don't serve presumptuously and do what we want. That is so bad, so terrible for a servant to do what he wants. Then you're not a servant anymore. Then you know better than the master. A servant must have the fear. Then, it says here, verse 3, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. That's so wonderful. All priests must learn this. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Today, wherever lies are spread, immediately everybody believed it, without testing it, without fear, without the fear of the Lord. They believe everything. Then those who spread lies also don't have any fear of the Lord. They spread the lies everywhere without the fear of the Lord. Oh, Lord. It's so wonderful. What a servant our Lord was when he was on this earth. Then he'll, with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, because he was straight and one with the Lord. And with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Then he's also worthy to judge. Today, the judges of the world are breaking the law. You can really see this in the U.S. The judges are criminals. They're breaking the law. How can they judge? Look at what's happened in New York. Surely you've read the newspaper or heard the news. Everything is upside down. And they have no fear. We should not serve in such a way when we serve the living God. God is righteous. He's holy. He's glorious. How can we just serve him as we want, as priests? That's why there are strict laws for the priests. They are not for the general Christians outside, like the people. That's why to be a priest is a privilege, and at the same time, it is wonderful. It's truly wonderful. We have to learn. The foundation of the service that we see in this outline is here in Isaiah chapter 11. If we have lay hold of Isaiah 11 and practiced it and experienced it, then praise the Lord, we can serve as priests. It cannot be any other way. That means we have to serve as the Lord served. This is why we need transformation. The priestly garment. We don't have probably don't have much time to talk about the priestly garments. There's the garment of the high priest, and then also for the sons of Aaron's. At least for the sons of Aaron, we all have to wear this white garment. And also the white pants. And the reason is so that the flesh would not be exposed. That means they could not serve according to the flesh. But he who serves according to the flesh is going to end up dead. Romans chapter 8 says, as our sister read, your mind set on the flesh is what? Death. It's death. You can do nothing about it. You can't do anything, sorry. But if we set our mind on the Spirit, it's life and peace. Why is there so much death among us Christians when we serve? And there's so much fighting. We can't be one. Each one has its own opinion, and there's jealousy and fighting. You want to have power. You want position in the church. In your body. Zoltan, is there a position in your body? Did the hand say, I have a better position than the foot? No. Never. It's not a matter or even a question of position or power. I can't say that this part is better than the other part. Right? But often in human organizations, although we say that we are the church, it's not about what we say, but what he says. I can say everything, but it's of you no use. Look at Revelation chapters 2 and 3. What does the Lord say? He doesn't have much good to say. Not many good things. We just want to hear something good. But when the Lord speaks to us, oftentimes he does not have many good things to say. What would you rather have or hear? If the Lord loves you, then he will chasten you. That's why at the end to the church in Laodicea, he said, whom I love, I kick out. No, I chasten. I rebuke and chasten. Are we prepared to be chastened by him? And to also go through sufferings? The Lord also uses these different kinds of persecutions to chasten us. We think, oh, they're against us. No. The Lord is using it to chasten us. If we see this, then we'll be joyful. Then we won't be angry. And we won't be fighting and doing all these things. But the Lord is chastening us because he loves us. Praise the Lord. Then he's showing us the way. And we have to serve in this kind of a way in the priestly service. The Lord wants that we put him on, not just as a new man. That's just very general in the New Testament. Put off the old man and put on the new man. That's so easy to say, but is it easy to do, to live? The new man must always be renewed. Yeah, the inner man is being renewed from day to day. Don't just think, why? If you put on new, Will you be new right away? Marcus, after you put on the new man, are you now? I'm new every day. Oh, that would be nice. That means in our experience, the new man has to be renewed every day. Not once for all are we renewed. No, that would be wonderful. That would be a miracle. But no. The inner man must be strengthened in love, rooted and grounded in love. Then we will be strong and to lay hold of all the riches of Christ. This is how we should learn. Don't be discouraged if we make mistakes, but learn. Use the mistakes to learn. Mistakes are there so that we can learn. It's a real mistake if you don't learn from it. Then it's a great mistake. The Lord is not afraid of us making mistakes. Making mistakes is not the sin. But if we learn from the mistakes, then we will grow. Children learned much from their mistakes. Not just from the teachers in school, but from mistakes. I can testify of many mistakes. I learned much more from the many mistakes than what I learned from books. It's about life. It's not just about the knowledge. He who learns also makes mistakes. That's very different than sin. Praise the Lord. So learn. Learn to perfect this priestly service. The outline you can read by yourself. The verses are there. But without this background, it's not so simple. For this reason, when Jesus came as a servant of the Lord, and he wasn't just a normal servant, he served God as a priest. That's why it's written so clearly in Hebrews. Hebrews is not just a normal service. We have such a high priest. If we do not see this, if we do not have the Epistle of Hebrews, then we won't know that the ministry of the Lord on this earth was a priestly service. God sent him not just to die on the cross for our redemption. God sent him to make him a high priest, even according to the order of Melchizedek, king of righteousness. And we serve without righteousness because we are unrighteous. We're fallen. Sin dwells in our flesh. But in him is no sin. And still, he came in the form of the flesh of sin, but without sin, because the flesh of man, man's flesh is fallen. Then in his service, God wanted to make him a high priest. Not for the earthly Zion or Jerusalem, the earthly tabernacle, but now he has ascended to the heavenly tabernacle. Not made by hands. I really like this. Because I just have man's hands. How often do I have to tell the Lord, Lord, I can't do anything. Unfortunately, I just have man's hands. I can't even build an earthly house for myself. Much less to build God's house. Praise the Lord. So our service, we have to learn from Him. That's why the goal of our salvation is to transform us according to His image. The transformation is important. God doesn't just want to have children that aren't conformed to the firstborn. The firstborn is like a pattern, a model, and all those that come have to follow the model. If you work, you work for BMW, when a model comes, you first have to build a model, a prototype. Then, if it's good, and that's it, then the production happens. And all the production has to be exactly as what you had before. Do you think God wants to have so many different kinds of children? Some are wah, wah, wah. Others are fighting and doing different kinds of things. Do you think God wants to have such children? Galatians chapter 4 says, those kinds of children cannot inherit. But God has to do a lot of things. He wants to conform us to the firstborn Son of God. That's a difficult work. That's why we need so much time. And now we don't have that much time. So, let us hasten, speed up the work, redeem the time. Don't waste anything. Use every opportunity to gain Christ. That's why this priestly service is so important, right? We want to make concrete experiences with Christ, not just anything. Lord, I want to lay hold of you fully and know you and have the same attitude as Paul, not just to experience him a little bit, but make solid experiences with the Lord. Have solid experience. Praise the Lord. We all have to learn. Okay. I think that's enough for tonight. How late is it? 9 o'clock. Good. The time is right. I don't want to speak a long time. But learn this. This is the burden of the Lord. And may the Lord gain this glorious priestly service among us. And I hope you're convinced that this is what the Lord wants to have, okay? Praise the Lord.